Here.
The record will reflect that Commissioner Hetherington has an excused absence this evening.
Thank you, Shannon. I'd like to know if anybody would have a motion to approve the agenda, since we just have one item.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Jack.
Before I second, I'm not sure whether this is the proper time to do it or when we get to the consent calendar, but I think both consent items need to be considered separately because on item two, Commissioner Jack and I were not present, so we would be unable to vote on that one. And then on number one, I do have a correction.
Okay.
Other than that, I would second the motion.
That's fine. We'll do the consent calendar separate.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Grady. Been moved and seconded. A roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
6-0, motion passes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
If I could just interrupt for a quick second, I'd just like to introduce Shannon Sims. She's going to be our acting secretary. She works for our community services department. Grace Pucci, we know, has been ill for a while. We were hoping she was going to be able to come back, but she did give us a formal resignation about 2 weeks ago. Due to her health concerns, she's decided that she needs to move down to Los Angeles to be closer to her family. So Grace won't be coming back. So in the interim, Shannon's going to be filling in to help us, and we're working with Marcia to figure out a long-term solution for how we're going to staff these meetings and take our minutes and that sort of thing. So you may notice some of the minutes have been a little slower coming before the commission. It's because we're having a little bit of trouble getting things done, as right. Grace was very proficient at doing these, and it's taking a little bit longer. But bear with us. We're trying to get caught up and get a new system established.
Shannon will do just fine.
Yes, she will.
Thank you, Warren. We'll miss Grace. Welcome, Shannon.
Welcome.
Okay, we're going to open the meeting to the public comment portion of the meeting, and this is for anyone in the public that would like to speak on an item that is not going to be considered on our agenda tonight and over which the commission has jurisdiction. Would anybody like to speak this evening? Seeing none, I'm going to close that public comment portion and bring it back to the commission. First would be planning commission business. Marcia, the commissioner handbooks.
Thank you, Chairperson Fonzie. Thank you. First of all, I wanted to say on behalf of the council to thank all of you for serving on the commission. This is something that a lot of times I don't know that the public knows. It's a volunteer position. You don't get paid to be on a commission, and you're appointed by the council to advise them and make recommendations to them, and it is something that is a lot of work, and the staff and council really appreciate what you do. We did create a commissioner handbook, and I think a lot of you might have brought it in tonight. And I just wanted to really briefly go through that with you and answer any questions if you have them. Basically, this handbook is just to give you a summary of what your responsibilities are and maybe give you some pointers on how to conduct meetings. And I'll just real briefly go through those different chapters. The first item is the first section is called Purpose of Commissions and General Information. And basically, it talks about the scope of authority. And as I just mentioned, the council is the policy-making body for the city. They're the ones that make all the decisions about how laws that are made and whatever else. But the commissions, both this commission and the Parks and Rec Commission, review issues and give advice and make recommendations to the council. You act upon the policy of the council. They set the policy, and then you work from that policy and make recommendations. And so as you go through, I'm just briefly going to summarize these items. Also in this section that talks about how you're appointed and the terms you serve and if you need to resign during your term. Basically, your appointments are five of you are appointed directly by an individual council member. There's five council members, so five of you have been appointed by a council person, and your term coincides with their term. So, for example, we have three council members now up for re-election this year, and those of you who are appointed by those three, your terms will also expire as their term will at the end of this year. The other two commissioners are what we call at-large commissioners, and they are people that were actually we took applications and they were interviewed by the council, and then a majority vote put them into their position, and they serve 2-year terms. And so we do have two that are their terms are expiring in December also. The selection process that I just described, the organization of the commission, you know, you have a chairperson and a vice chairperson, and this chapter also talks about your meetings and how to conduct the meetings and what's involved in meetings, the hearings and consent calendar and public comment your meetings, and to encourage them to speak on the issues in front of you. And the staff does create your agendas and work with you on getting information that you need to make your decisions. And those are all worked out with your commission through Warren. The next section is about how to conduct effective public meetings, and it does talk about how to handle when there's conflict, when there's a controversial issue, and how to deal with that. It talks about how to just run an effective meeting, how to handle public situations, how to handle who speaks when, and like when there's public comment, whether the individual council members, or I'm sorry, commissioners should be speaking with the people at the lectern, or whether you work through the chairperson, which you should be dealing through the chairperson, and that explains all that in that section. The next section talks about individual commission responsibilities, and again, we have the two commissions, Parks and Rec Commission and Planning Commission, and this section does list a lot of the responsibilities for each of those commissions. It also lists the code section in our municipal code that lists in detail what your responsibilities are. The next section talks about the Political Reform Act, and this is the state legislation that actually requires public officials to disclose your assets and your income so that the public will know what those assets and income is, and that they can tell whether you potentially would have a conflict when you're voting on any particular issue. And that's the Form 700 that you all are familiar with filling out. It is a public document, so the public is allowed to review those and or ask for copies of those so that the public can be assured that there isn't a conflict of interest with any particular council member or commissioner. The next section is about the Brown Act, and the Brown Act is another piece of state legislation that is basically all public agencies have to comply with the Brown Act, and the purpose of that is basically to assure that the business of the city is conducted in an open setting and open to the public. It's a very lengthy document, but it basically talks about agendas and how they have to be out to the public at least 72 hours before the meeting, and it also is very specific about what needs to be in the agenda so that the public is well informed about what you're going to be talking about, so they will be able to come and hear and participate if they need to. It also talks about any documentation. Your staff reports or any other documentation that you are given through this meeting is also a public record and available to the public. And your staff here and the rest of the staff in City Hall are all familiar with the Brown Act, and if ever you have any issues or questions about it and you're not sure, you should always, you know, check with Warren or check with me, and we can help you with that. And that's basically this handbook. There are some attachments here, including the commission norms and procedures. That's a document that the council adopted. They also adopted their own norms, council norms, and basically this document talks about, again, kind of the same as the other section here in the commission handbook, about values and how to handle meetings and how to the communication that you have between each other and between other bodies, including the council and between staff. And that is something that the council felt that because they felt it was important for them to have such a document, they wanted the commissions to have the same. This is set up as a notebook with a binder so that in each commission, both the Parks and Rec Commission and the Planning Commission can add documentation. So your staff might at one time or another give you some information that they think you might want to have in this handbook at all times, and so they'll give that to you, maybe set some tabs here, and you can add to it so that you can carry everything in this one notebook. That concludes my report. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Marcia. Are there any questions for Marcia?
No, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess I have. Excuse me. I guess I have a few. Who wrote this document?
I prepared it, basically.
My compliments. I think it's extremely well organized and really very clear.
When I say I didn't write every word, I had different people help me with different sections, but I put it together.
I understand. Nevertheless,
so it was a group effort.
It's going to prove, I think, extremely helpful. I think one area I was somewhat confused about, though, is when actions by a commissioner as opposed to an individual. I think it's covered under Section 2, relationships of commissions with the council, manager, staff, and public. And, for example, some of us may write letters to the newspaper about, as individuals, about issues that perhaps are policies of the city council about which the person may disagree. I didn't get out of this whether that was permissible or not.
So the question is, can you write, makes a comment at some private situation? Sometimes people think that they're speaking for the council. They didn't say that they were, but it's the assumption. It's that appearance. And so you just want to make sure that you're clear about whose opinion you're giving.
My second question, or perhaps it's a comment, there was, I think it was a checklist or something, and I think you had adapted it from another publication, and but it, one of the provisions dealt with abstentions, and abstentions were on the last city council agenda, and I don't believe they got there, and I think they adjourned prior to consideration of that item, so I assume it will be on a subsequent agenda. But the comment in there was something like, you know, don't abstain, just vote yes or no, and personally, I think there are appropriate times when an abstention is a very thoughtful vote. And so I would think that particular comment could have been written more thoughtfully to acknowledge that there might be occasions where an abstention would be appropriate. So maybe that's just a comment rather than a question, unless you want to respond to that.
I would like to comment. Actually, I'd be curious, want to do it now, maybe, you know, tomorrow or something, if you want to point out to me where that is, because I thought I did not have anything in there about abstentions, because I knew the council was about to consider it. So if I didn't remove everything about abstentions, I apologize. I didn't want to have anything in there. So we don't have to talk about it now.
I didn't flag it, so rather than take time now,
yeah, that's
but
fine.
It's in that
but
long
just so
list.
That you know, yes, I wouldn't want to have anything in here that gives an opinion about abstention, because I know the council's about to consider changing that in the municipal code. So what I planned on doing, we talked about that. This was like a work in progress. I've been working on this on and off for quite a while, and every time I think, okay, it's finally done, someone would say, hey, do you have this in there, or do you have that in there? And so I'd say, yeah, maybe I should add that too. And so I kept adding and massaging it, and that was one of the things that I purposely thought excluded, because I knew council was going to address it. So I plan on adding that as a future chapter once the council makes that decision.
Okay, one last thing. As I was listening to you, I got to thinking of a recent Atascadero News article. Actually, it was announcing Chairperson Fonzie's candidacy for city council, and one of the things Commissioner Fonzie mentioned in there was enforcement of accountability of the Planning Commission to the City Council and to the public. And I just wondered if, Commissioner Fonzie, if you have anything in mind that maybe is not covered in our handbook here that perhaps we ought to talk about right now.
Well, I was talking in the article about what I would do as a council member, so was not speaking as a planning chair. So probably that wouldn't be appropriate at this time. We could ask for a semi-legal opinion from Marcia, I suppose.
I'm not sure what comment he's talking about.
My question has to... I think it says in here that the commissions serve at the pleasure of the council. So, to me, that's what it meant, accountability meant to me. And so I just wondered if Commissioner Fonzie had something else in mind other than the accountability that I think is already in the handbook. So
I don't think politics is the right thing to be talking about at the meeting.
I'm not talking about politics.
I think that's where we're going, so I would like to take that off the table. I'd be happy to talk to you in private or to any others, but it is not appropriate when you mention my candidacy at a planning commission meeting, I don't believe.
Well, I respectfully disagree with that since you put it in the paper to start with, and it's planning commission business. And if we don't, we are supposed to talk about these things in public and not in private. At least that's my understanding
of
the intent.
Well, actually, I believe that was the editor that put the article in the paper. So let's move on to ex parte disclosure. Can we start with you, Commissioner Marks? And if you have ex parte, let's go on down the line.
Yes, I visited the site for this evening's item and did chat briefly with water company staff.
Thank you.
I spoke with no one.
I also visited the site and have spoken this evening with John Neal from the water company.
Nothing.
Yes, I visited the site and introduced myself to Dave, and I'm sorry, I don't remember Dave's last name.
I met with Callie Taylor and John Neal out at the Atascadero Water Company and got all my questions answered.
Thank you. Let's move on to the
Commissioner O'Keefe.
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno.
Abstain.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack.
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Moreno abstained.
Thank you. Let's move to item 2 of the consent calendar, approval of the minutes of the Planning Commission meeting of June 3rd, 2008. Are there any corrections? Do I have a motion for approval?
So move.
It's moved by Commissioner Marks. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner O'Grady. Excuse me, O'Keefe. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Abstain.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Abstain.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Abstain. I was absent.
Okay. Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Shannon. Okay, it's time for our public hearing. First item on our agenda is the Atascadero Mutual Water Company facility expansion, which will be a conditional use permit. Staff report, please.
Good evening, commissioners. Our project tonight is looking at the Atascadero Mutual Water Company's facility expansion on Sycamore Road. The project is located off of Sycamore, adjacent to Highway 41, the railroad tracks to the south, an open space parcel with Atascadero Creek just to the northwest, and the Salinas River to the northeast. The total site area is about 13.74 acres. That's the combined area of the two sites, which are zoned industrial and industrial park, and the area of disturbance is about 4.25 acres plus the borrow area. This is a site plan of the existing facility. Here you see three buildings which are proposed to remain. This includes a smaller building which is used for water quality facility, and then two metal buildings which will remain on site. There are two additional metal buildings which will be demolished. The site is currently used by the water company as the corporation yard. This includes plant operations, equipment maintenance, and material storage. And currently, the administration part of the water company operates over in El Camino Real at a different site. So this project proposes to combine these two functions on this one site on Sycamore Road. So we would have the corporation yard and the administration offices on one site. This is a site plan that is proposed. Here we see the new administration buildings, the one building, and then the two new garage and storage barn buildings. And these are the existing buildings to remain. There are street improvements that are proposed as part of the project, and a new monument sign which would direct people to the new driveway off of Sycamore Road. These are proposed elevations of the new buildings. Here we see the equipment storage barn, which is the larger of the storage facilities. This is a smaller garage. And here we see the 12,000-square-foot administration building. This is designed as a sustainable building. It's oriented for daylighting. Actually, all the buildings are. They have clear story windows and take advantage of a number of other sustainable features that the architect can probably share a little bit more with you about. They have the administration building has a stone block facade and a large entry porch. These are some of the materials and signage and fencing that we'll see as part of the project. Here's the materials on the building on the side. This is an image of the new monument sign that the water company will install. The 42-inch fencing is the decorative fencing that will be used along the front of the project, and the 8-foot security fencing will be used at the back of the project site around the corporation yard. This is a site plan of the landscape and the trail plan. As part of this project, the water company will actually be installing a trail to connect to the De Anza Trail along the Salinas River. The pedestrian trail is seen here along the Atascadero Creek. It's on the outside of the water company's corporation yard. Currently, there is a small trail along there that people use, but the water company will be greatly improving that and widening the trail. They'll be pulling their existing fences back and removing some of the concrete along their corporation yard there to allow for a wider trail. This trail was already approved as part of the city's total master plan for trails. So it was already looked at by Parks and Rec Commission and City Council a few years ago. The water company will now be installing those improvements. Here we see the location for the different types of fences. This blue dotted line represents the 8-foot decorative security fence, plus the 20 feet of antennas on top of that. And this height is required in order to reach all of the wells and the other operations that the water company needs to access. Here we see Atascadero Creek in this section below and the trail zone adjacent to the new fence and the new equipment storage building. This is an image of the new street improvements that will be installed as part of the project. In order to help traffic control at this intersection, there will be two new stop signs installed, actually three new stop signs where right now there's only one, so two additional. There will be a raised island for traffic control here at the corner. This will help slow people down as they turn that corner. There will also be a sidewalk installed, and the sidewalk actually meanders around some of the large cedar trees that are currently there on site. And then there'll be an additional pedestrian crosswalk to allow people to cross Sycamore and access the new trail. A draft mitigated negative declaration was circulated for this project. It was sent to the transportation company, Caltrans, Regional Water Quality Board, Department of Fish and Game, Army Corps of Engineers, APCD, and both the Salinan and Chumash tribe. We did get one response as part of the mitigated negative declaration, and that is actually on your desk with a response from staff. The response to the neg deck was regarding traffic, and staff is not recommending any additional mitigation measures this time. These are the findings as shown in your staff report. And tonight, a staff is recommending that the Planning Commission approve the neg deck and the conditional use permit as conditioned, with one extra condition, and this is regarding the phasing of the project. Right now, there's an exhibit showing the phasing in the back of your resolution. We're recommending one additional condition, which says that the project shall be constructed consistent with the phasing plan approved in Exhibit N. And the applicant is here if the commissioners have any questions tonight.
Thank you, Kelly. Are there any questions for... Yes, Commissioner O'Keefe.
Would you refresh my memory with regard to deciduous oaks when what the DBH is for mitigation?
You know, I'd have to check the tree ordinance, but I believe it's 4 inches for... I'm sorry.
Okay, well, there's a valley oak with a DBH of 6 inches, and I didn't see any mitigation report in your file. Did I miss it?
The mitigation will be done, standard mitigation for all of those. Any of the trees that are shown on that tree removal permit, I think there were 9 trees total.
But some of them, mm-hmm. Most of them are live oak, and the live oak, isn't it 6 inches for?
I want to say it's 2 inches for a deciduous and 4 inches for an evergreen, okay. But I could check on that in the ordinance.
My point is, you usually include something in here. Was it just an oversight?
Yes, that's a standard mitigation that will apply to the building
permit. I understand
permit.
It's standard, but there's mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that's standard and it's mm-hmm. in here. So I'm suggesting that in the future, and I'm sorry I didn't mm-hmm. catch it when I was talking to you. So
mm-hmm. sure, we can add that in the staff report.
Okay.
Next time.
Any other questions? Commissioner O'Grady?
I'm concerned about the height of the 80-foot communications tower, and I wondered what information that was submitted to you or that maybe you reviewed that justified the height of that tower.
We didn't have an official document explaining the height. We had several meetings with the water company, and it was expressed throughout the process that this was the necessary height for them to have radio communications to all of their wells. I believe John Neal can explain this a little bit more, but this tower needs to operate even if there's an earthquake or other emergency where the rest of the power goes out and cell phones don't work throughout the rest of the city. So it's crucial that they have access to their wells in that type of emergency. So for that reason, we saw this as a public safety need, and we felt that approval of a taller telecommunications tower would be important on the site.
Okay, but no technical data was submitted to justify
No, it
that.
Wasn't.
Second question, I guess it's a big picture question. What are the reasons that this CUP is required? Is it just for the taller pole, or is that just one of the things?
That's one of the issues that we looked at. The main reason is the total area of the site. A CUP is required for any sites that operate with more than 10,000 square feet of area. So the administration building alone is 12. I think if you wanted to recommend a condition, you could go ahead and recommend that now or when you're
okay.
discussing resolutions.
I see where the project will be phased. What is the expected duration of construction?
I don't know what the water company's time frame is.
I could ask.
Yes,
okay.
John Neal is here. He could answer that.
Is the tower subject to FCC regulations?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you. That concludes my questions.
Commissioner Jack?
Kelly, I have one question. Was there anything, any calculations done on the increased number of employee trips that would be taking place here that would impact from a traffic standpoint?
We do not have official calculations from an engineer. We did discuss this with the applicant. The corporation yard will stay primarily the same because it's already there on site. There are 11 people that work in the administration building, so we're expecting trips to and from the facility from those 11 people, plus any public that goes there to pay their water bill. So there may be increased traffic from that. On the other hand, we will see decreased traffic counts from the the employees will not need to go to El Camino Real and then back to Sycamore a few times a day to access the different sites. Everyone will be located on the same site. So our city engineer is here if you have any additional questions on that.
No, I think that answers the question. Thank you.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes, I'm just curious, what is going to happen with the existing office building?
That would probably be best for the applicant.
Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Commissioner O'Keefe?
Could maybe possibly Commissioner O'Grady or somebody explain to me what a cutoff fixture is, just in case I'm voting on that?
A cutoff fixture restricts the angle at which the light emanates from the fixture. So, for example, if a light fixture is
I understand.
Okay, all right.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, I'd like to ask a couple. This one would be for City Engineer Steve Kahn. I know that we're looking at putting in another stop sign, and this is the one that I'm concerned about, or at least have questions, is the one that would be coming after you go underneath the train trestle. It's rather sharp, and there's a limited sight distance. Do you think that will cause any problems with pedestrians in the walkway and people can't stop in time because they don't see it coming?
We did take a look at that sight distance issue, both the engineer and myself, and I feel there'll be adequate sight distance before that stop sign.
Very good.
And just if I could add on that three-way stop, we worked really closely with North Coast Engineering and the water company on taking a look at that. And the water company is going to add a trail along Atascadero Creek. So we felt that the crosswalk going across Capistrano would be a good addition, allowing pedestrians to come from Atascadero Creek, where it goes underneath the railroad tracks, cross, and be able to either go down Atascadero Creek or go down Sycamore Road. So my concern was that we add a stop sign so that the crosswalk be at a controlled intersection, plus it kind of cleans up that intersection. So I think they did a good job on designing that three-way stop there.
Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. And this is a question for planning staff. This is regarding the existing De Anza Trail access that's down on Sycamore, closer to the end of Hidalgo. When I went down there today and looked at it, there was actually a notice posted there. Is that opening going to be closed to the De Anza Trail because it's rerouted at the Atascadero Creek?
No, that's not something that we're aware of. It may have been an older sign. It's part of the...
It could have blown down there and somebody stuck it up, too. I didn't
know. Yeah.
No,
that's not something that we're aware of.
Very good. And this may be possibly something for the applicant, but you may know. Do you know if bill paying will still take place at the new facility as it does at the existing water company? Because obviously there would be additional trips with the public coming to pay their bills.
That would probably best be answered by the applicant, but my understanding is that, yes, this will be the new facility for all of those administration functions.
Thank you, Callie. Seeing no further questions, I'd like to open this to the applicant. Please state your name for the record.
Good evening, Chairman Fonzie, Commissioners, John Neal, Atascadero Mutual Water. First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to consider our project tonight. And I'd also like to thank Steve McCarris and Callie. They really helped us get through this process and get to this point. And I think it's apparent that we put a lot of work into this application to try to answer all your questions ahead of time to make this process as smooth as possible for you. And efforts as far as libraries, communications are difficult. There's a lot of traveling back and forth between field staff and the administrative offices. I know personally I make 2 to 3 trips a day between my office and the field office. And there's field staff that are doing the same thing. So this is, even though we may, there will be increased trips because of our employees going to the Sycamore office, I think they'll more than offset with the reduction in trips caused by us driving back and forth. As far as the number of customers, our operations have changed significantly over the years. We now have the ability for customers to pay with credit cards. People are using the internet quite a bit more. We have a payment drop at Perry's Parcel. In general, our customer loading is about 15 to 20 people a day, max. And that, even on shutoff day, which is our busiest day because people are rushing in to pay us before we shut their water off, that may swell by about 5 customers. So, again, I think there's going to be some increase in traffic, but I really believe it's going to be minimal. Answering the questions about the antenna height, we have 2 existing whip antennas on the existing building. Those whip antennas are about 20 feet high. One of those is for our radio communications. And to answer your one question, that is a dedicated frequency for the water company. It is an FCC-licensed frequency. That is our primary communications when the power goes out, when a cell phone service is down. That was the communication method that we used during the earthquake. That was the only communication available to us. We will have a standby generator here. So when the power does go out, we will still be able to communicate with our crews during those emergency situations. And again, those are 20-foot whips on top of a 60-foot monopole. And if you visited the site, you can see that those whips aren't very large antennas. The other antenna is for our SCADA system. It's supervisory control and data acquisition. I know that's a mouthful, but that is the radio frequency and radio telemetry we use to control our booster stations, our wells, and our reservoir. And as we move our facility, the SCADA equipment is going to be housed in a new administration facility. Unfortunately, there's a limit between the distance we can run that cabling to allow all that data to be transmitted. And that's imposed certain limits on where that antenna can be located on the site. As we move that antenna further to the east or towards the 41 bridge, we get into the shadow of Pine Mountain quite a bit more. And we're really concerned that we're going to lose our communications to our various facilities. And again, those facilities are critical to us. In fact, during the earthquake, the first thing I did was check the SCADA system to see if any of the tanks were draining, because that would help me pinpoint where we may have leaks in the system. That SCADA system also is connected to panic alarms in each of the facilities. We have operators that visit these facilities daily. There's electrical components in it. Some of the reservoirs have chlorine bleach for disinfection. These panic alarms allow that individual to basically push a button and summon help if they have an accident at those facilities. And these operators do work alone. We don't send them out in teams. So from a safety standpoint for our employees, and I also think from a safety standpoint for our customers, these communications are essential for us. A couple of comments I had on the conditions of approval, and these are more clarifications, I believe. City engineer condition number, standard condition number 7 is requires bonding before construction of the public, or bonding before issuance of building permits. I would respectfully request that that bonding occur prior to phase 3 of the improvements, and that's when the frontage improvements will be constructed. The reason I think that that is justifiable in this case, any impacts associated with the traffic won't occur until the administration building is constructed. That's why the frontage improvements will occur with phase 3 of the development. One of the reasons we want to phase this development, we want to get working on this project as soon as we possibly can. Our goal in phase 1 is to do the mass grading. And while we're doing the mass grading, we're going to have the final design or construction documents in progress for both the barn, as they call it, and the administration facility. As those plans become available, we want to do these subsequent phases. And we anticipate, to answer the one question, about a 12 to 18-month construction window on this for all three phases. And the other request that I'm going to make is with regard to mitigation measure 15AB1. And I'd simply like to add at the very end of that condition that the frontage improvements, again,
some. And I assume you did do a technical analysis to determine that an 80-foot pole is what you need.
We've done numerous radio surveys in the design and implementation of our SCADA system. And right now, that system is, especially with the higher frequencies radios that system operates, it's essentially a line-of-sight system. And again, as we move that further to the east, that becomes more problematic. Have we done a formal survey on that? No, but we've done sufficient surveys in that area to know that it is going to be a problem. In fact, at that particular site, our cell phone carrier is Verizon. And if you look at Verizon's coverage map, there's a blank spot right there where our office is, or where the proposed office is.
Congratulations.
Best coverage in the county, except right there. So.
Okay, well, perhaps I wasn't suggesting that the tower be moved. I was just looking for documentation showing that an 80-foot pole really is necessary. And if the commission were to condition the approval that you provide such documentation to staff to document a max 80-foot high pole, say. I mean, maybe when you really look at it, 75 feet might work. Would that be a difficult thing for you to do, is to provide that documentation?
I would have to look into that. The physical reality of doing that, how do we get on a temporary basis a radio receiver or antenna at that height would be the question I would have to have. So I'd have to check with my consultants on that.
Okay. Well, then it'll take a little wordsmithing then to make that subject to your ability to do that test, if you see what I mean.
In
other words, you said you were going to check with your consultant?
Yeah, I would have to check with my SCADA system designer.
Okay. All right. Have you looked into camouflaging the pole?
No, we haven't. I think there'll be some with those existing deodore cedars where they're located in relation to that antenna that you may have some screening because of those trees.
Okay. Now the location of the pole is right at the corner of a building, existing building, correct?
It's at the corner of the existing metal building. That's correct.
Okay. Now, while that's being erected, folks will not be inside that building. Is that? And I want to ask that in terms of maintenance too. As far as safety, when you're installing a high mass pole like that, so close to occupied structures, I'm concerned about. Construction accidents, for example, or any maintenance that has to be done when the pole is in such close proximity to an occupied building. Have you thought about the erection of that pole and the maintenance of it?
Well, the building that's adjacent to is essentially storage. That's the existing metal building.
Okay.
So that building, if we were doing maintenance operations and we felt that there was a risk, there would be no need for us to be in that building.
Okay, I think you answered my questions. Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Moreno?
Hi. If you could just tell me again the two mitigations that you were saying you wanted an exemption from. I think I had 15AB1.
They're not exemption. We wanted to just add the phasing component of it.
Add the phasing component. Okay.
Yeah, it would be city engineer standard condition number 7. And I apologize, I don't have page numbers in the staff report, so I had to... And it would be I think it's the very last condition or mitigation measure, 15AB1.
AB1, mm-hmm.
And simply add to the end of that, with phase 3 of the project, would be the wording I'm proposing.
With phase 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And I had the same, actually, question that Commissioner Marks did, just curious of what will be happening with the building on El Camino.
Once this new facility is constructed, we will put that on the market for sale.
Thank you.
Commissioner Oki.
With regard to the 80-foot pole, you're in a flat area, and most of the poles that have been put in have been on a high area, you know, on a mountain or something, a peak. We don't have mountains. So realistically, how does this compare, your height compare, considering that it's in a flat area compared to the other ones? Do you have any idea?
Ideally, we'd like to put the antennas up, say, on the Pine Mountain tank, similar to the city fire department, police department's repeater. Unfortunately, we don't have that luxury because of the limitations in cabling between the antenna and our SCADA system.
Mr. Neal, how amenable would you be at this stage to at least looking at an option of some sort of an artificial type of pole rather than the pitchfork sticking up there?
I would have to see what options are available for us.
Yeah, I don't know, and I my intent is not to create a lot of additional costs or anything, and I understand where you're coming from with the need to be able to communicate with your facilities, but if there were some way that it could be blended to some degree into the view shed, if you will, I think would be a positive on it. So I just thought I'd ask, see if you would mind doing that, And
again, I'm not a radio expert, so I don't know what that shielding would do.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. But I know they do it with cell towers and that kind of thing, and it's a similar kind of a communication. There may not be as much data involved as you have. So, again, it's something that I think I'd kind of like to see you at least look at it if you could.
Commissioner Marks?
Mr. Neal, where are your current telemetry antennas?
Currently, they're on top of the existing metal building.
The building.
Yeah, and they're about 40 feet high total.
Okay.
But again, the issue we found as we move towards the 41 bridge, we're getting into the shadow of Pine Mountain, and our concern is telemetry from our Chalk Mountain tank. Again, the further you get to the, in that case, it's actually to the east. The more shadow effect you get, and we're not going to be able to communicate, or our concern is we're not going to be able to communicate with wells that we have out, what we call a random oak zone, our random oaks tank, our Chalk Mountain tank. And we're also getting in the shadow. We have a repeater on the Pine Mountain tank to get signals down to that site. And as we move further to the east, again, trying to keep that cable length to a minimum, we're getting actually a shadow from Pine Mountain itself from the Pine Mountain tank.
Okay, so what you're saying is that the existing system works with the WIP antennas now?
Yes. And we will continue to have WIP antennas, the same antennas, except we want to get them up on a higher mast.
Okay.
To avoid the shadow effects.
Which you don't have now.
Which we don't have now.
And why is that?
The location, primarily.
Again, just on that site?
On the existing building.
I see. So it's a matter of just moving the antenna on the site itself.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If we could leave them where they were, we would. But that's how critical that cable length is.
Okay.
Just by moving it it's about 100 feet, I would guess. Again, you're wrapping it in behind Pine Mountain. And most of our facilities, if you're familiar with our system at all, are out Santa Ana, San Marcos. And all those sites feed into that repeater that's on Pine Mountain.
Pine Mountain. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. I'd like to open this to the public. And if you would like to address the commission, please approach the podium and give your name and address for the record. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring it back to the commission for discussion. Commissioner O'Keefe.
I just want to say that I don't have any problem with the 80-foot pole. I find it interesting that nobody even noticed where the existing 40-foot pole is. And when you go out there, and I spent some time out there, that's going to fade in the background. That's in a very low-profile area. Even the fencing, the chain-length fencing, you don't see. It just kind of fades into the background. And the point, I think the point is well taken, that they need to be assured that they have good communications. As far as camouflaging it, I'm saying camouflaging it from whom or what. There isn't anything out there. So I just simply don't have any problem with the request that's being made with the 80-foot pole.
Commissioner Marks?
Another question I had for the applicant. There is a decorative fence in front of the proposed admin building and security fencing around the back. How are you going to keep people from vandalizing and breaking into the admin building?
It'd be no different than them getting into our existing admin building.
But the decorative fence is only, what, 42 inches?
42 inches.
Yeah. And the chain link is 6 feet?
Yes. Okay. You will see the BMX park go in. Our goal is to educate people about the drought-tolerant landscaping, and the best way to do that is make it available as often as we can. Granted, there's going to be risk for vandalism, but I think you have that with any building.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just administratively, I'd like to show that we've opened the meeting up and allowed Mr. Neal to approach the podium once again. Since you're here, I'd like to ask you one last question, and then we'll excuse you again. What is this antenna going to be made out of? Is it a reflective material? Is it gray or green or black? Do you have any idea?
I'll let the architects, Frank Seipel, answer that.
Please state your name for the...
I'm Frank Seipel, Fraser Seipel Architects. We haven't selected a specific mass product yet, but this is a steel monopole. We can paint it any color. And we'd obviously be looking for something that would fade into the background that would not make any large visible profile or shadow in the skyline there. So I think we can mitigate that appearance. We certainly don't need to make it reflective. It's not in a flight pattern or anything that needs specifically to be called attention to it. So
in other words, it could be any color that you choose to make.
Could be any color that we all agree on, yeah.
Very good. Sure. Thank you, Mr. Seipel.
Sure thing.
Okay, I'm closing this to the public once again and bringing it back to the commission for deliberation. Do we have any more comments? Or I think I saw Commissioner O'Keefe first.
My question is for staff with regard to the bonding issue. And is there any problem with following through with the recommendation that was made by the water company versus what you have? I know that bonding is important, and phasing is also important in making sure that these things happen. We're finding this out now as projects that were supposed to have certain things completed because there was no phasing in them. We're dealing with some problems. So from the city's standpoint, how important is this?
That one is a public works condition, so I'd like to refer it to Steve Kahn.
The bonding is for public improvements in the public right-of-way, so I don't have any problem with phasing the bonding just so the bonding's in place prior to the installation of the public improvements. What the bonding's really for is as the contractor's working in the right-of-way, if the contractor would have fiscal troubles or other troubles and not be able to complete the work, we would use the bonding proceeds to complete the work.
So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner O'Keefe? O'Grady?
I really like the design of the building, so I want to compliment the architect on that. I think consolidation of the water company's facilities is going to be beneficial to our city from an environmental standpoint, reducing a lot of those trips that Mr. Neal talked about. It should make air quality a little bit better. I've been focusing, I guess, on one of the salient features of the project is that large tower. And as I looked at the municipal code, one of the, I think it was a finding, provisions of the code said that we could approve exceptions. And this is a big exception. It's, 50 feet is what's in the code max, and this is going to go up to 80. So we're not talking 4 or 5 feet here. We're talking 30 feet. So it's a big exception. But it says substantial detrimental effects on the enjoyment and use of the surrounding properties. Well, like Commissioner O'Keefe, I walked around there, and I guess I had to conclude that I did not think it would cause substantial detrimental effects. Nevertheless, as an engineer, I believe there needs to be sound technical justification in writing presented to city staff that documents the height of the pole to a maximum of 80 feet. I think that's only reasonable and proper to have a sound technical foundation for such a large conditional approval of such a large change in the height. Like Commissioner Jack, I think it would be desirable to have to purchase one of those poles that look like a pine tree. I think Lawson Company makes them. There's several others. But this is an industrial site. And so if this were on El Camino, I think we'd have a very nice camouflage pole out there. So And then the only other thing I would suggest to my colleagues for their consideration as far as an additional condition was what I suggested as far as lighting to minimize.
And again, I would really like to commend the water company for the making of or trying to make that boardroom available to members of the public, because I'm also part of a nonprofit, and trying to find meeting locations around here is very difficult at best. So I would thank you for that.
Thank you, Commissioner Jack. Commissioner Moreno?
I think in that area, your building and the whole setting is actually going to improve the look of it. I think that's quite attractive. And with regards to the the antenna, and I agree with Commissioner O'Keefe and Commissioner Jack, I can appreciate where Commissioner O'Grady is coming from in wanting the backup. My concern would be that, the cost benefit of that, and I don't know that that would be necessarily financially feasible. And obviously you're not able to answer that tonight. I'd be inclined to go with it as is and trust that you would be camouflaging it as appropriate.
Thank you. Commissioner Marks, did you have some comments? Okay, very good. I'd like to also state that I think the building will be an asset to the city. I'm very pleased to see the pedestrian access across the road and the wider trail going down to along Atascadero Creek. I think that will be a big plus in this project. And getting everything in one location is actually a good thing. I think that'll free up a building that could be used for a higher, better use on El Camino Real, so I congratulate you on that. I, too, share some concerns about whether the study would be economically feasible. We're operating in the dark on this. We don't really know what a study such as this would cost. And I believe that there's an overriding reason for safety in terms of having good communications and good data for the water company in case of an emergency. Yes, Commissioner O'Keefe.
While the ordinance, and I didn't check it, but I believe Commissioner O'Grady, I believe you said it was 50 feet is what?
I thought it was 45.
45.
The report says 50.
Okay, 45 to 50. However, most poles are put on top of a hill, and they don't have a hill. If they constructed one, which I believe they could, make it 30 feet high, but it would sure look strange out there. That would take care of it. So part of it's the logistics, and I know our ordinance hasn't addressed that, but it's reality. This is a low point in Atascadero. I also want to add that I think this is a very well thought out project. Going to be a tremendous improvement out there. And I like the fact that they have moved in the fence, actually providing a lot more land for trails and things like that. I think that the intersections there are going to be a lot safer. So I think it's an excellent project.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0038, certifying proposed mitigated negative declaration 2008-0011, and approving conditional use permit 2006-0193, based on findings and subject to conditions of approval, and adding condition number 17 that staff recommended, and revising the bonding issue to be provided when they do the frontage improvements, and that those are found in conditions number 7 and 15, and to address the issue with regard to minimizing the glare that was brought up by Commissioner O'Grady.
Second.
Motion by Commissioner O'Keefe, second by Commissioner Marks. Roll call vote, please.
Could we have a just brief discussion?
Yes, we may.
Okay. If I could make Commissioner O'Keefe's modification about the lighting to suggest that it be worded, full cutoff light fixtures shall be used for all outdoor light fixtures to reduce glare.
That sounds much better than what I said.
Thank you.
Well,
since you like that one so much, I don't suppose you'd go for the pole one. Huh?
Don't push your luck. Turn up the mic.
Okay. Nor do I want a pine tree out in that place where it doesn't belong.
Okay, thank you. And does the second agree with that?
Yes,
provision?
I do.
Thank you. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzi?
Yes.
6-0, motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes our public hearing process, and we will bring it back for community development staff.
She went to her home, and she's very positive. She's going to be selling her home. But it was a very nice visit, and she sends her best wishes to all of you, and she does miss all of us.
Thank you. I appreciate you visiting her. That was very kind. Is there any other commissioner reports? I don't know, Warren, I'll put this on the table, and you can tell us yes or no, but I know that some of us still have some questions regarding abstention. Would this be an appropriate time to discuss that, or do you think you have our direction and can take that and represent us at the city council meeting?
Well, I think if there was concerns that the commission specifically had about the proposed ordinance, I think there's two options. Individual commissioners could address that at the hearing, or they could talk to the council members about their concerns. If the commission as a body wanted to send some sort of communication about your concerns, we could do that as well. I personally don't want to be in the position of trying to communicate what the commission's concerns are or aren't on that, because I think that would be difficult to do, and that really shouldn't be staff's role in this.
So would your advice be that individual commissioners go to the city council meeting and make their positions known?
That's probably going to be the best, just because I'm guessing that the commission may have various opinions about exactly how that would be worded best.
Very good. I have one small question for you, and perhaps you could help out with a packet or some information. I went to a Chamber Empower Hour this morning. We were addressed by Doug Mark's wife, Sorrel, and also Roger Briggs from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, and they spoke about low-impact development, LID. And they showed some layouts and different appearing developments than we have seen in the past without curbs and gutters. And I was wondering if you could get us some information about that and whether that's something that will be coming and something we need to consider in terms of our architectural review component of our job.
We definitely can get you more information on that. Public Works is reviewing and coming up with standards. That is part of the NPDES Phase 2 requirements that the city's under. Public Works, Steve Kahn and Dave Athey are working on getting us a permit under that new process, and that's going to require new standards. You'll notice that LID, which is low impact development, that actually was one of the conditions on the water company project, and it's kind of a best management type program where there's a variety of ways to achieve it, but it does deal with dealing with water. Historically, the solution to storm drainage has been collect it, concentrate it, and get it off your site as fast as possible. That has led to a lot of the pollution and erosion and siltation problems. So now we're really going in the opposite direction, which is not to concentrate it, not to try to dispose it off the site, but try to keep it as distributed as possible, let it perk into the soil naturally, that sort of thing. And that's where this whole LID concept is going, which makes a lot of sense, but it's a lot different than we've done things historically in California, and we're working on those standards. But I think we can get you some sort of information in the next couple meetings that would give you a little bit of an update on that.
That would be great. And if you could email a website or something, we can do some research on our own if need be. But
okay,
it will be coming forward. I can see it in
It's coming quickly.
Very good. Any other commissioner comments or reports? Director's report, please.
Don't have a lot tonight. Just want to remind you, though, that we have a fifth Tuesday in July, so your next Planning Commission meeting is in 3 weeks. That would be August 5th. Right now, we don't have that many items queued up, so it's looking like a light agenda. We think we're going to have a meeting. It's possible we may end up without anything, so we'll keep you posted on that. And that will conclude my report.
Very good. Thank you. Seeing that, we adjourn at 8:20.